Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 8. In the afternoons here, we have been working our way through the book of Joshua. Last week, we were in Joshua, chapter 7, which I'm sure you're probably familiar with, when the Israelites were defeated at Ai because of the sin of Achan, and that the Lord's anger burned against them. And he judged them. Now we come to Joshua chapter 8. We're going to be looking at the faithfulness of God. But God was no less faithful to Israel when he judged them for their sin, being faithful and just to himself. But now this faithfulness turns to a different side. This is the word of the Lord, holy and inspired. Please hear it and listen to God. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us, as at the first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, 'They are fleeing before us as at the first.' Therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be, when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you." Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stay between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Now it happened when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. Now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them, so they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city took Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai he hanged on a tree until evening. And soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. We're going to stop our reading of God's word there. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, we come to you now, Lord, depending on your faithfulness to work in our hearts. We do not want this, Lord, to be just the next thing that we do. We want it to be something, Lord, that changes our lives. We cannot change ourselves, Lord, just as a leopard cannot change its spots. But you, Lord, can change us. And so we ask that you would do that work in your people as we hear from your word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. One of the probably most discouraging things in the Christian life is having to deal with our own unfaithfulness. I don't know about you, but there are times when I know that I am sinning willfully, sinning, doing those things which I say I hate to do, and yet I do them, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7. But it can be discouraging. And if we put our eyes on ourselves, even at those times, it can be quite a deal breaker with us. And sometimes those kind of moments have even caused professing Christians to throw their hands up in the air and say, why try? And that is because when we do that, we are looking at our own faithfulness, when we should be rather looking at God's faithfulness. Now, we are called to be faithful, but it's not our faithfulness that is at the heart of our relationship with the Lord. It is the faithfulness of God that will carry us through the day. It is the faithfulness of God that will carry us through times of our own sin, times of our own discouragement from our sin. It is God's faithfulness who is there with us. It is that assurance from God that he will work all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. His faithfulness is the foundation for our faith in him. Had he not proven himself to be faithful, how many of us would be putting our faith in him? How many of you today would be willing to go and do things that God has called you to do had you not seen already God's faithfulness in history, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, how time and time again, when God calls somebody to do something, God is there with them and is faithful to them to bring about those results. And here in Joshua chapter 8, the people are being called to consider the faithfulness of God towards them. They had just been routed by a small little city. They had just been embarrassed by a small number of warriors and had lost 36 of their own fighting men. And now God calls them to go back and fight this same group again. But even though, as we read in the scripture there, that they went back with more people, multiple times more people. That is not the reason that they won this battle. The reason they won this battle was because God was with them. He was faithful to them. And so it will be with you in all things. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, for each of us in general as Christians or in your particular life, as God is with you, you will be successful. And in the midst of that, God wants you to trust in His faithfulness, not your own abilities. And though they took several thousand more men into this battle, that is not what won them the victory. It is God's faithfulness that caused them to have this victory. In Joshua chapter 8 tells us of the battle that God is in for Israel. We need to recall that from Joshua chapter 7, that when they first went into battle the first time against Ai, they could not defeat them. Why? Why could they not defeat Ai, this little group of people? We might say, well, it's because they had sinned. We might say it's because they were puffed up and they only sent a few thousand people. When in reality, the reason they could not defeat this people is because God was not with them. Because they had tolerated sin. Verse 12 of chapter 7 tells us, therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were doomed for destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. God had warned them that if they took of the accursed things in Jericho, that they would become like the accursed things. They would become doomed to destruction. And Joshua chapter 7, verse 1 tells us that the anger of the Lord burned against Israel because they had taken the accursed things. Through Achan, Israel had been unfaithful. But even in this, God was reminding them that He was and would always remain faithful to them. Had He not remained faithful, there would have been no turnaround in the camp. His faithfulness is found in the statement that He would not be with them in battle if they continued with the accursed thing. Here He was being faithful to Himself, to His holiness, to His justice, to His intolerance of sin in the lives of His people. So when we think about God's faithfulness, it is not just to us. But it is to Himself first that He must be faithful. He has to be, because it is who He is. And He cannot be with a people who are unfaithful to Him. His faithfulness is promised. His presence is promised. And with them, He promised that He would be with them if they would deal with the sin among them. And that's what Joshua chapter 8 is about. God is faithful to do what He promises, to be who He is, and He demonstrates this to Israel and to us here in this battle. It is God's faithfulness that you need to prosper in the Christian life. Without it, you will not succeed. Without seeing it in Scripture and seeing it in the lives of other people, you will not be encouraged to continue to go on and move forward with God. So in this passage today, I want us to see God's faithfulness in that God forgives His people faithfully. We're going to go back to chapter 7 to look at that. But then also I want you to see that God provides for His people faithfully. And we're going to look at chapter 8, verses 1 to 29 for that. So first, looking at God's faithfulness in that He forgives His people. Just as God's anger burned against Israel for the sin of taking the accursed thing, as is stated in Joshua 7, verse 1, we see in Joshua 7, verse 26, that this had turned around. Verse 26 tells us, then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. Speaking of their action towards Achan for his sin in the camp of taking the accursed thing, they raised over him a great heap of stones after they had stoned him. And then we see the action of our faithful God. So the Lord turned from his fierceness, from the fierceness of his angry. Make no mistake, God was fiercely angry towards Israel. The scripture uses this language to tell us that this is how God was dealing with Israel. His anger burned towards Israel, and in that he was being faithful to who he was, which he can do no other. He is a holy God who cannot tolerate sin in his people. He faithfully and graciously revealed this sin to his people. He faithfully and graciously revealed to them who he was, that he was holy, and he was just, and he judges sin. He does not play around with sin, unlike us who do, and unlike us who think that God must not be very serious about our sin because I sin all the time, and here I am. But God does deal with our sin. He judges it, and God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that so shall he also reap. Well, God in his faithfulness told them what the problem was and what the consequences would be and how to be restored to him. These are the acts of a loving and faithful God. And when God through his Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, that is an act of a loving and faithful God. One who disciplines his children. One who reveals to them their wickedness and calls them out of that wickedness and shows them a way to be restored to God in that relationship is a faithful act. And in promising them that he would not be with them as long as they had the accursed thing in the camp, he was also promising them that if they would deal with their sin and remove the accursed thing, he would be faithful to be with them. And once they had acknowledged that sin and what sin had been committed and dealt with it, he was with them just as he promised. One thing you can do is to believe that God will judge sin. There is no sin that will go unnoticed by the Lord. No sin. And he will judge it because he is holy and he must judge it. God can be trusted to judge sin. But God can also be trusted to give mercy to repentant sinners, which is what he has given here to the people of Israel under Joshua's leadership, because he promised to do it, because he is a faithful God and a just God. As we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, which told us, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Last week I said there could be no more terrible words to hear than what God said in Joshua 7 to the people of Israel. Neither will I be with you. I cannot think of anything more terrible to hear than that. But I also cannot think of anything greater and more wonderful to hear God say, I am with you. Demonstrating his faithfulness to himself and to his people. That is what God has promised Israel here, if they will get rid of the accursed thing. And when they did that, he delivered on his promise, because he is faithful and just and forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And having turned from his burning anger, then he now moves to be with them and to restore their relationship to him. And that's what we see in the rest of chapter 8, verses 1 to 29. Now, the majority of this passage is taken up with the battle plan and the execution of that battle plan. And we could very easily be tempted to think that this is how God provided for them. This is how God proved himself to be faithful to them. And that's certainly part of it. But there are also some other provisions that God has made for his people in God's faithfulness that are the foundation for this victory in this battle. In chapter 8, verse 1, the Lord says, Now the Lord said to Joshua, Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai, see, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. The Lord exhorts Joshua with these words, do not be afraid or dismayed. You may recall that in Joshua chapter 1, this is exactly how God started out with his exhortation to Joshua when he was telling him that he was going to take this land. He said to him, do not be afraid nor dismayed. This was kind of like code word to Joshua. Remember what I said to you way back here, that you're not to be afraid, you're not to be dismayed, even though the task may seem great, and even though the people, your own people, may rise up against you, do not be afraid, for I am with you. This was the provision that God was making to them and for them before they ever went into battle. It was a promise that they would win this battle because God would be with them. This is a reassurance that when God gives us a task, that when God calls us to do something for His sake, that He will provide for us. That if we will confess sin and repent of it, that He will restore our relationship with Him. He gives them a promised blessing of the spoils of war. He gives them a battle plan to achieve this victory. But most importantly, He gives them Himself. He gives them the confidence. He reassures them that the relationship that had been broken has now been restored because they have done what God had called them to do. And He provides for their every need in the upcoming battle. In these things, I am reminded of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, which tells us, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. What do we know of God? He is faithful. What I know of myself is I am unfaithful. God, in His faithfulness, in His Word, has revealed that to me. But He's also revealed to us that He is faithful. And this is true for all those who are in Christ Jesus. Whether you are a mother or a father or a husband or a wife, a young person, a college student, whatever it may be, working in the working place, whatever God has called you to this day and what He will be calling you to other days, He will be faithful to you. And God says to you, do not be afraid or dismayed. I am with you. And is this not what Jesus said to His disciples? And this is one of the greatest themes in all of Scripture. God's faithfulness in His presence with us. Jesus said to His disciples, as He sent them out into a hostile world, as He sent them out to people who were not just neutral towards Jesus and the good news that they would be preaching, but they were utterly opposed to it. And Jesus said, do not be afraid. For I am with you always. And God faithfully provides for His people to accomplish His calling upon their life. But I want you to notice the emphasis that God puts on the means in which He does this. Verse 8 of chapter 8 says this, and it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do. See, I have commanded you. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua was to have confidence in God's promises, His provisions, and His plans, not just as Joshua thought they would be, but according to God's commandments, according to the way that the Lord was leading him, according to the word of the Lord. And we should not think that we can go outside of God's word and find blessing. That is a deception from the devil and leads us into sin. We should not think that we can make our own way to God outside of His own provided means through Jesus Christ. And we should not think that we can raise our families in a way that God has not commanded and think that we will have success. What a temptation that is. What a temptation it is as a parent to listen to the ways of the world, to listen even to our children who want something different than maybe what God's Word instructs us. But to give in to them and say, well, maybe this will be better for them. What if Joshua would have done that? What if he had heard God's plan about this ambush and said, you know, that just doesn't seem like it's going to work. I think I'm going to go a different direction. What do you think the odds are that he would have been successful? Not likely. It is according to God's word that God is faithful. When he promises us things in his word and when he instructs us how we are to do those things, he is telling us, I will be faithful to this. And to expect him to do other is to be self-deceived. In verse 18, God told Joshua to stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. Another promise that Joshua was to have confidence in God's faithfulness. Then in verse 26, we are told that Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. He never drew back. God commanded him to stretch out his spear, and he never drew it back until the job was done. This does not say the battle was easy. The very fact that something is called a battle or a fight shows us that there is conflict and that battles are generally characterized by hardship, or else it's not really a battle. And in all our callings from the Lord, they are generally filled with challenges. If you're a parent, you know the challenges of parenting. And if you're married, you know the challenges of being married. In all these things, in any relationship that we are involved in, singleness has its own challenges. But God has his promises. And God has his instructions. And God tells us, do not draw back from my word. Just as Joshua did not draw back with the spear. Even in the church, there are difficulties because you have people in the church. You have people who are sinners, struggling with sin, overwhelmed by sin, and overwhelmed by the things of this world. In the church, you have leaders who are weak. You have leaders who are struggling with sin. You have leaders who need to admit that they're weaker than they think they are. And so there are struggles in every relationship. And all these relationships and all these struggles are a recipe for trouble and difficulty. Just like this battle. But we are called to do what the Lord has commanded us. And that verse 8, see, I have commanded you. See, I have commanded you is a statement to say, I'm the one who's telling you to do this. The Lord is the one who's telling you to do this. So have confidence in my faithfulness to carry it out. This counsel for how you are to fight this battle did not come from somewhere else. It comes from the Lord. The counsel of God's word comes to you from God himself. Coming from the Lord, instructing you in how you are to live before him, and calling you to have confidence in his faithfulness. So when you do not think things are going as they should in your life, and that is oftentimes the case, put your focus on God's faithfulness. Remember, he could not be God if he were not faithful. And if he's calling you to do something, he is going to back it up with himself. And he is going to be with you. And he is trustworthy and true to his word. And so when he gives us his word, he is calling us to trust in his faithfulness. He's also calling us to demonstrate that trust by our actions. Because he didn't just tell Joshua, it is I who am telling you to do this. And he didn't just demonstrate his faithfulness. But he called Joshua to move forward in trusting God. So when we submit to his word and his plans, because we know he will deliver on them and he will deliver us, then he will bless us. and we can trust Him. Now, being blessed by God doesn't mean having victory every day of your life. Being blessed by God could be having trials and challenges every day of your life, and yet having God with you in the midst of those trials and challenges to be a blessing to you, to get you through them, to sustain you and to draw yourself to Him, to depend upon Him. This is a big battle, is a big victory, is a big turnaround. But it's all God's victory, all because God and His faithfulness to be with them and to provide for them. And God is faithful to forgive when we come to Him according to His word, when we come to Him according to His plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. He will not turn you away when you come to Him, trusting not in your faithfulness, but in His. And even if you are a Christian today, and I know many, if not most, or all of you are still being called to trust in God's faithfulness for every living moment of your life and for everything that He calls you to do. And He will not let you down. His faithfulness has been demonstrated all the way since Genesis chapter 3 when He promised a Savior to defeat Satan, to defeat death. He promised a Savior and He has faithfully provided that Savior for us in Jesus Christ to save us from our sin and to be with us and to be with us in all our struggles in this life. Do not look on your own faithfulness, as good as it may get. Do not look on your own unfaithfulness, as bad as it may get. But look at the Lord's faithfulness. And He will carry you through the day. He will forgive you. And He will be with you and provide for all that you need for life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for in Christ Jesus, God is with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we must admit that there are times when we are fearful. We are sometimes dismayed. The tasks that You give us sometimes seem to be overwhelming to us, and it simply is because we are looking at our own strength. We are looking at our own history of failure. We are looking at our own problems in our life and our own sin. Father, how I pray that You would help each one of us to not look at ourselves, but to look at You and Your faithfulness demonstrated in the sending of Your Son, Christ Jesus, who gives us victory over all things. Point us, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, to be continually thinking and looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. And may we, Lord, all the days of our life, trust in Your faithfulness.